Praise the Lord. Bron, we'll talk afterwards. I don't want to have to bring a broom up here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited about Jesus. How many brought your Bibles today? Wow, that's really great, man. Even those people that are probably on vacation today shouldn't be. They probably would have brought theirs too. But anyway, hallelujah. Nice to have you here today. Lord bless you. And we're excited what the Lord is doing. You know, I was just thinking, I was listening to a program about how, not to be negative, but it's a fact of life, what's happening in our country right now. And witchcraft is on the rise dramatically in America. And if you watch Fox News about a week, or maybe it's been 2-3 weeks ago now, time goes fast when you get older, you know. But the chaplain in Congress actually prayed a prayer over Congress to rebuke demonic spirits of witchcraft over the congressman. That was open. That was for everybody to hear. You could probably pull it up. But he was actually doing that because witchcraft is trying to dominate countries, infiltrate countries and cities. And we need to be aware of that. And even within the evangelical churches today, witchcraft is coming into churches, evangelical churches. Some of you didn't know that, did you? Well-knowing pastors that I listened to, one of them encouraging Enneagram. If you hear that, you've been involved with it, get out of it. Get away from it. It's witchcraft, and some churches are introducing it into their body. And you notice what witches do? They get together and they pray. They pray against Christians. Christians need to get together and pray for this world. Pray for our church. Pray for each other's. Pray against witchcraft. We need to do more of that, but we're not doing it. But witches are. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God, all-powerful God. And just think, these witches are serving dead gods and a demonic spirits that have no power. Is all they have is deception. That's all they got. But yet people will pray to them fervently for power. And here we serve the creator of the universe, and we sometimes don't give him the time of day. I got to be honest, right? Amen. You agree with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. That was my starting here. Aren't you glad? Show me your glory, Lord. I believe it's important to speak about the glory of God as we are drawing close to the end of time. Whether you believe that or not, that's between you and the Lord. I personally believe we're on the brink of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the signs in the world are showing it, and all the events happening, even while you're sitting here right now, are moving forward the way God wants them, and we need to be focused upon the Lord. We can get focused on all the evil and all the things that are happening, but I like to focus upon Jesus, upon our Creator also, amen? We got to put our attention upon Him because fear is coming into people's lives also, but we need not fear as we see the events getting closer and closer. We need to look at Jesus, and we need to see His glory and His power. Jesus said, "Look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith." And there's a reason for that. We don't look onto each other's. You don't look onto me. I don't look onto you for your faith. We look onto Jesus. He's the author of our faith, the finisher of it. He's the finisher of our faith. We're to look onto Him. Amen. So Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Did you hear that? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament is the tangible things that you and I can see also declare the glory of God. All around us, they're around us. Psalms 72:19 says, "And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen." Amen. Praise the Lord. And it will. And his glory is here today too. How do I know that? Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. His glory is here. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as I share your word, let it manifest into the hearts of your people, Father, and anoint us to hear your word and to open our hearts and our spiritual hearts and ears and eyes, Lord, to receive what you have through your written word. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. Help us to put our trust in you, a never-failing God. And Lord, help us to obey your word, Father, for it is life unto us, Father, for all eternity, Lord. And help us always to be aware of what your word says according to what's happening in this world. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, when trials and tribulations come into their life, like the death of loved ones, financial issues, all sorts of things that you and I could name in the world, all different things coming against, financial difficulties and separations and all the evil that comes against us in this life, we need to think about the Lord of glory, the one who is in charge of this whole universe. We need to put our focus upon him. On a clear night, how many have ever went out in a clear night and looked up at the sky and looked at the stars? And I think you can see some of the planets up there too, right? And the Milky Way. And how many know the names of the stars? I don't either. But God does. You know, when we go into the mountains at night where there's no light pollution and you look up, you can see billions and billions of stars across the sky. And the Creator made them, hung them, and named them. And he can name every one of those stars. And when he put them there, how he hung them, they're there. Can you imagine that? Now, when you think about that, your and my trials in life seem pretty small, don't they? To think that the Creator that we serve did all of that. It says in Isaiah 42:5, and by the way, those stars just didn't happen. God created them according to his word. Isaiah 42:5, thus saith the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreads forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. See, he didn't just give us breath, he gave us spirit also. But who did all that? God said he did. He did it. It isn't a big jelly roll that blew up somewhere and splattered across the universe. God created everything. We need to be verbal about that, by the way, too. We really do. It's just too magnificent to be the result of random chance it happened. God has shown us just a tiny glimmer. Really, it's just a tiny glimmer of who he is. We haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg on what God has to show us and of his glory, and it can cause the beginning. He can cause the beginning of an aching heart, the desires and a thirst to want to see him. That's where we should be in life. We should have that desire and that hunger to seek after this mighty God, this glorious God. We need that. And you can look at the creation of the world and begin to do that and realize, what a God. I saw a picture of a mountain scene the other day on television, actually one, and the water was so still, and the reflection from the mountains and the trees was on the lake. And I thought, what an artist God is. Only he could do that. No painter can do the brilliance of the colors and the uniqueness of being able to replicate that. But the Creator can. See, I love art. I like to draw. I like art. I like color. I do things. I do cartoons and things like that. And I've done a lot of them and painted. And I love doing that stuff. So I can really relate when I see things. I look at it and say, wow, would that be an awesome thing to paint? Everybody's trying to duplicate what God's already done. But he's put it there because he's put it in us. Amen. Amen? Amen? Even in the midst of constant turmoil and trouble, we should continue to yearn to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. We should do that. Psalms 27:4 says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That was his desire. We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek this beautiful God. And it speaks right here, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You and I don't even have a touch of what the beauty of the Lord is. And look how many people in this world that have passed, and maybe future ones will, that will miss and will never see the true beauty of this wonderful God who loves us so much, because of their rebellion and their desire not to receive what he's given us. He's a beautiful God. Hallelujah. So describing the indescribable, the glory of God is best described in his beauty in Isaiah 33:17. It says, "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." You know, that's his splendor and his grace and his mercy. It's beautiful. I wish I had words for it, but we will not know that till we stand before him. We will see his true beauty for who he is. And that should give us a hunger and desire to want to live our best for a mighty God who's done all so much for us. God is, he's omnipotent, meaning he is unlimited in creative power. He has the power to do, to recreate, to do whatever he decides he wants done. I'm always amazed when I hear these nutcases say that they're going to serve the devil because the devil's got more power than God. Read the Bible, buddy. God created the devil. The devil, he can only try to duplicate, and he does a poor job at that. He was defeated on the cross. See, God, he is magnificent in all his beauty. He's magnificent. When you're down and depressed, focus on Jesus. When you feel yourself overwhelmed with life, focus on Jesus and say, "The beauty, Lord, your beauty, your love, your kindness, your mercy is so beautiful." Kick the devil out of your mind through the word of God. Think on things of good report and think about the beauty of God. Amen? Amen. Nobody can really define the beauty of God right now. Every human being will see the beauty of something differently than one another. Amen, don't we? There's no established precedent or pattern of beauty that one can say God is like. And if there were, it would be God himself who would actually say it. Because he is beauty. He is beauty. Beauty is the possession and characteristic of God and is one of the qualities which are distinctive of him. That's why I'm preaching on it today. It's in the word of God, and I like preaching the whole thing. See, I don't want to talk about you, and I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about him. Because when I talk about him, it brings us all together. And he meets all the need and all the desires of our hearts when we talk about him. Because he's a beautiful God. Well, 1 Chronicles 29:11-13. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Everything within this life is under his control. God. It's his. He's the creator. We need to focus up on this creator. Amen? We need to focus up on it. See, the word glory is used in the Bible to describe God's beauty, and it comes from the Hebrew word kabod and the Greek word doxa, which are most often translated throughout the Bible to convey God's wealth, his perfection of character, his splendor, his majesty, his abundance, and honor, as well as to convey the ecstasy found in heaven when we get there. The root meaning of the word denotes weight or heaviness and size and rarity and beauty and brilliance and brightness and desire and adornment. All those things. There's so much we can't even talk all, everything about the Lord. There's so much about him. Don't you love Jesus? I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to tell you, and I'm not ashamed to tell anybody outside these walls that I love Jesus. I remember, again, I'll repeat it since there's several new people here. I remember when I was a young Christian, my wife and I just got saved. We were sitting in a Coliseum in Sioux Falls, and Dave Wilkerson showed up with, what's his name?
Dallas Holmes.
And Dallas Holmes walked up to the microphone, and he took it, and he was just a young guy, too. And he walked up there, and he grabbed the mic, and me coming out of the world, a good Lutheran dude, and my wife, a good Catholic dudette. And he grabbed that microphone, and he looked at all the people in this big Coliseum, must have been, I don't know, thousands in there. And he said, "I want everybody in here to know that I love Jesus." And when he said that, I began to weep. I thought, how could he do that in front of all of these people? Because being raised a good Lutheran, you know, it's personal. But here was a man standing telling us that he loved Jesus. And I, since then now, I know why he did that. Because he really loved Jesus. And he was not ashamed to tell it. That's why when we give altar calls within a church, we ask people to come forward to make acknowledgement of their decision to follow Jesus. They're not ashamed. I haven't lost anybody yet, have I?
Nope.
Praise the Lord. See, the divine quality is beyond our understanding. It says in Psalms 113, 4 and 6, "The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens." Do you think God's scared about what's happening in the world and the nations of the world? He's above it all. He knows it. "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?" Who? Now listen to this. Listen to this. "Who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth." Psalms 113, 4 and 6. God humbled himself. The creator of the world humbled himself. Why would he do that? Why would the God of the universe humble himself? But that's his character. He humbled himself. Why would he humble himself and be interested in a lost, sinful, deprived people? But he did right here. He humbled himself. He humbled himself when he walked to the cross because of our rebellion and our sin. He humbled himself. That's a character of a beautiful God. That is so awesome. See, he loves the worst rebel and enemy, and he does good for them also. That's his mercy and his grace. Yet this beautiful God longs for every person on this planet to come to him. Isn't that amazing? Us rebellious people, and he still desires to want to have a relationship with us. Revelation 22:17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Whosoever! God does say, no, not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. He said, whosoever. Whosoever. That's the beauty of God. It's all he requires is repentance. To come to him. And he said, whoever wants to come, even the worst rebel, like I said, can come and say, "I ask for forgiveness." And God says, "Come on. I'll save you." What a beautiful God. Deeply rooted in every human heart is the unquenchable longing for beauty. Did you know that? A God-given sense that beauty must have a meaning that is larger and more permanent than oneself. It can both be a lure and arouse for pleasure, delight, joy, and even bring relaxation. Every person longs to observe and be part of beauty as they seek for a rare glimpse of greatness and yearn for a vision of glory. We all desire that in some form. I don't know about you, but I'm moved sometimes, and people are moved by music, right? They're moved by music. The words of a poet, the work of an artist, a newborn child, the uniqueness of living creatures, the multicolored hues of the sunset, the brilliance of sunrise. Doesn't that move you when you see them? The majesty of the mountain peaks. How many have been to the mountains and seen these high mountains and you look up and you say, wow, just think our God created them. And they move you. The melodic sound of a waterfall. It's beautiful. The wind rustling through the leaves, the simplicity of a flower, the lightness of a snowflake. You ever look at things like that? I do remember growing up when I was doing this message, I was thinking of all the things raised on a farm and all the things even around a pond, the little frogs and all the movements going around in the ponds and all the water bugs and everything that God created. It moved me. It brought memories of my childhood and the exciting things of seeing what was in this world. And it moves you. And these things cultivate one's sensory awareness and expands the consciousness in a way that creates an ever-deepening appreciation of the creation that our God has given us. And they're all but shimmering shadows of the beauty of God. That's our God. When you look at all of those things, woven in the fabric of creation, all these different things, the beauty and glory of God are far greater and far surpassing any earthly beauty that we could ever know. How do I know that? How do you think I know that? You know how I know that? I read it in here. It tells me all about this wonderful God. It tells me about His beauty. And it's in there, but many people are missing the beauty of God. We get too focused on everything else, but we got to remember and focus when we hear all about Muhammad and Buddha and Dudu and whoever else is out there trying to be God. We got a God in the Bible right here that's alive and real and involved in our lives, and He's a beautiful God. See, His power is beautiful. His love is beautiful. His mercy is beautiful. His grace is beautiful. His beauty is rooted in Him. He is the foundation of all beauty in the universe. He is it. His beauty is what makes Him worthy of worship. That's why when Amy prepares music, we come together. We worship this beautiful God for who He is. Because He's a beautiful God. And beauty begins and ends with God. He is the revelation of all that is good, loving, and kind. He even signs His name using the brilliant colors and hues of the rainbow. Man tries to hijack that rainbow, and it has nothing to do with God. I'm talking about the rainbow in the Bible. The covenant between man and God, His promise that He would never flood the earth and destroy the earth with water ever again. That's His covenant personally, a holy, righteous, pure God. God does not endorse anything in this corrupt world with His rainbow. Beauty in creation is to draw humankind to the beautiful God, to create within a deep hunger to know the true beauty of God Himself. People often settle for an imitation, the created counterfeit, not the creator of Himself. We'll settle for anything around. That's why people don't darken doors of churches anymore. That's why a fisherman said, I'd rather sit on the beautiful lake and fish and thank the God for the beautiful creation. No, we need to focus upon Jesus, the creator of the waters and the lakes and the fish and everything else. That's who we do. God, the creator, not the creation. We worship God, the creator, not the creation. Because I don't know about you, you know, I could easily not have done anything for the Lord when I got saved too and just went out and started to do my own thing and enjoyed every Sunday morning when it's nice out and go drive somewhere, go fishing, go camping, hiking, whatever I wanted to do. Enjoy nature. I only live once. People don't realize that if you're blood-bought, born-again Christian, you'll enjoy that stuff for all eternity. This is our training ground right here now. This is where God is preparing us for that fun. I'll have my good time when I get to heaven. That's why I do what I do for the Lord, because I love Him. Not because I'm perfect, Not because I'm so Mr. Spiritual. I do it because I need to do it now. I need to invest my time now preparing for eternity. So that when I see him, as the scripture says, I'll be like him. Amen? You're not anybody mad at me yet? Praise the Lord. Each year, tens of millions of dollars are spent on cosmetic surgery. Literally. Clothes, jewelry, makeup, just to look more attractive. And sad to say, it isn't just women today, it's guys too. Adam and Eve didn't need clothes or makeup or jewelry as they walked naked in the garden because they were clothed in the beauty of God. His beauty was there. That's why they didn't know. Because of God's beauty and his presence was with them until they sinned. His beauty, the beauty of his presence covered them. And the reason people are attracted to beauty and long to be attractive and wanted by another is because God is the ultimate beautiful one. He's the ultimate. He is the absolute original pattern of all other beauty. And he made people to long for himself because he sees each person as beautiful and longs for intimacy with that person. Did you hear that? You're beautiful. In God's eyes. I don't know about you. I've been called ugly in my life. How about some of you? Going to school. I mean, I was called ugly. Blah, 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 blah. Many times. And now I don't see myself ugly. None of you in here are ugly. Everyone in here is beautiful. When God looks at us, he sees beauty. Why? We're his creation. We all have different looks, different sizes, different skin colors. But God sees every single one of us beautiful. That's how he sees us. The enemy lies to people to make them not want to serve this beautiful God. When in reality, this God sees us as beautiful. Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. See, scripture teaches that we were created in God's image. We were created in God's image. Is God beautiful? Yes, he is. Do you think God's going to make something ugly? No. He created man in his image. Every person upon this earth, no matter if a person is born deformed, that's why we don't kill babies in the womb. Abortion is wrong. It's murder and a sin like any other sin. And God does not give man the authority because they can see into a womb now and see a little baby that may be missing an arm or deformed in some way so you can take their life so they don't have a life of misery. How about if that baby comes out of the womb and the power of God hits it and it comes everything it needs? Or maybe God will use that baby to show all of us that have everything in order to be thankful for what we got, and he'll give them the grace to walk through the earth. And when they get to heaven, they'll be just like Jesus for all eternity. Short is this time that we deal with these things upon this earth. But they'll stand before a beautiful God, and they won't curse this beautiful God. They'll see the purpose of why they were born. A beautiful God. Amen? I want you to stay with me here. I'm almost done for the first series here. See, the ancients used the word beautiful interchangeably with the words excellent and perfection and satisfying. Beauty is said to be in the eye of the beholder, and yet it is not dependent upon or affected by anyone's perception of it at all. I remember I was guilty of calling people ugly too growing up. And I look back and I say, God, forgive me for ever doing that. And I know that evil can make you see people as ugly, because really that's what sin is. It's ugly. And many times we don't see, and God doesn't want us to learn to hate people, but to love people and look past the sin and try to woo them into the kingdom of God, because they're beautifully made, just like you and I. And I was once lost, and God saved me. See, beauty is the manifestation of the Spirit of God, and it animates all of reality of life. The attributes of God's character and nature obtain their infinite beauty from their relationship with each other. His love, His wisdom, His power, His joy, His peace, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, self-control, they're all beautiful. Listen to Galatians 5:22-23. This is what God is moving in your and my life to help us to receive His beauty. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, not under the law, but it is the beauty of God moving in people to make them become more like Him. Isn't that awesome? We struggle so hard. We fight so hard in this world, and what God is trying to do is to make us just like Him. Beautiful. God is beautiful in all ways. He is relentlessly and lovingly pursuing us, reaching out in passion with His nail-pierced hands is how He comes to us. This is what I did for you. Matthew 4:19. See, it wasn't His looks or charisma that drew the disciples to Jesus. And He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. It wasn't His looks that drew the disciples. No matter what this corrupt world would try to say, it wasn't His looks that drew them to Him. It was His passion and His beauty for the love of His creation. And it got them. It drew their hearts to Him. See, it was His beauty. The love that emanates from Him and ever consumes those who draw closer and closer. The closer you get to Jesus, amen, the closer you get to Him, you'll sense His passion and His love and His beauty for His creation and everybody. That's what He's doing as we draw closer to Him. That's why they came to Jesus. Not because He was so handsome. It was because of His passion and His love and His desire for mankind to have a relationship restored. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. What? What? I got to read that again. That's really good. This is the living word of God, by the way. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. I said that earlier, didn't I? I said through the years, I said, I see God. I see this congregation. God has brought us so far. Already, many of us so far, and we're all here. It's because God causes us to triumph. That's His word. It's Him that causes us to triumph. The Bible says that God has clearly revealed Himself to every human being since time began in the beauty of the heavens. When you look up, you can see Him. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Man should not take this word and hold it in untruthfulness. Dangerous thing to do. And it's happening. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's in Romans 1:18 through 20, by the way. There'll be no excuses before God. God chose at times in past to reveal His glory and His perfection in mankind in a visible way, such as a pillar of cloud of fire. Remember that? Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night out and bless the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Could you imagine that, looking up and seeing God's glory leading them during the day and in the evening, His glory? And they knew it was the glory of God. When you read and study, you see the Heavenly Father's desire to have that intimate relationship with every person. He wouldn't have had to do that, but He loves His creation. And His beauty was there. His original desire was for His glory to always dwell with humanity. That's His original desire. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh. Who's that? Come on, who was that? Come on, who was that?
Jesus.
Come on, who was that?
Jesus.
Yeah, come on, people. We need to shout that name more and more in this hour that we live. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Jesus is a chain breaker. He's a deliverer. He's a helper in the time of trouble. Jesus is our source. He's our healer. He's our psychiatrist. He's our bank. He's the one of everything we need in life. And I say His name is Jesus. We've got to do that, people. You say, boy, you're annoying, Pastor. Thank you. Well, maybe we'll remember me that way, huh? Praise God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. People saw that grace and truth in the fullness of His glory when He walked the earth. They saw it. It was upon Him. The first dwelling place was the place of beauty there. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:9, that was before sin entered. It must have been a beautiful, beautiful place, huh? No death. And the last dwelling place is the city of beauty, by the way. The last place it speaks of in the Bible. It says in Revelation 21:21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, ladies. Do you like pearls? You know, I don't know how big they get on earth, maybe, you know, I don't know. But these are gates that wouldn't fit in here. And every gate is a pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Can you imagine what Brother John saw? God told him to write that down. God wants us to get excited about the beauty of heaven and the beauty of being with Him. Wow. See, what stops us from seeing that is the veil of sin. The veil of sin. The works of the flesh that keeps people from seeing God's true body, even within the church. We don't see it. And all of, it says in Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth. Bob, is Bob in here? You robbed part of my sermon, brother. Still love you, though. Still love you. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Because of sin. See, I believe all creation is travailing like a woman about to deliver children. Jesus is about ready to come. Amen. We're watching it. The birth pangs are getting closer and closer, and we're going to see the beauty of our mighty Jesus soon. Just imagine how beautiful the new heaven and earth will be when the curse is finally removed in Revelation 21:1-5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned to her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them. And He their God. And God shall wipe away every tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you see the beauty of Almighty God there? And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. That's the beauty of God. And you know how many people are going to miss that? By choice. They choose not to obey this mighty, beautiful God and his love and his grace and his mercy. They will do it because of their pride, their rebellion, and their sinful hearts, like all of us have. But God hath revealed, wow. The Bible states that all people, Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, the sin of Adam and Eve obscured God's personal, intimate beauty, and it was lost from constant view. But in Jesus, we found it through Jesus. We, like Adam and Eve, I believe, obscure God's personal and intimate beauty when we're living in sin. We don't see the beauty of God because the sin blinds us. Since the close of the Old Testament, the beauty of God has been shown in Jesus, because he, who being the brightness of his glory, in Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's Jesus, who being in the brightness of God's glory. And again, John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, Jesus is the Lord of glory. Jesus is the Lord of glory and reveals his beauty through miraculous signs and wonders so that his followers will continually put their faith in him. I don't know about you, but I really desire to see the power of God moving more in my life and in this world, don't you? I really do. John 2:11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. Every time a miracle happens in your and my life, that's God's glory being manifest into our lives. And his disciples believed on him. That's what our young people need to see. We need men and women of God that are living according to this word, walking in the power of God's glory and God's power, and letting our young people say that this world is lying to them and robbing them. And his followers share that in that beauty. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. See, the humanistic philosophy of this world's intellectuals, it's coming to naught. The wisdom, it's coming to naught. All those intellects out there, all the philosophers, it's coming to naught. But God's word's going to stand forever. That's why I'm not intimidated by the highly educated people. Maybe I'm so ignorant I don't know any better. But you know something? It's true. I call on people that are fairly, some of them are really fairly highly educated, and sure, I'm not fairly highly educated. Huh? But you know something? I know something. I got the word of God in me. And I can share to that intellectual and say, you know where you got your intellect from? From Almighty God. It wasn't because you studied hard in school. It's because God gave you a brain to be able to study hard in school. And he's the one allowed that to come within you and use you for a purpose in this planet. I'm almost done, truly. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 6 and 10. I'm giving you a word, aren't I? It's Bible. You can, it's up on the screen. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I love that. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. And in conclusion here, John 17:22, Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Did you hear that? The glory that the Father gave Jesus, he gave you and I. If you're in here this morning and you're a born-again Christian You have the glory of God. You have the glory of God based upon the authority of the Word of God. You have it. No matter how you act or think, you have it. All Christians reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. As we draw closer to Him, it's exposed more and more. People see it. They sense it. They wonder about it. It comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God is making a change in you, and you, as you grow closer to God, you've been changing, and you don't even see it and know it, but you have. From the glory of God to glory to glory. We, like Moses when he entered the tabernacle to speak with God, we also come into His presence with open, meaning unveiled, face when we read His Word. Did you know that? We read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible, that veil comes down, which reveals us for what we are, like the mirror, and also reveals the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And in so doing, we, like Moses, can begin to reflect His own image in our lives and even our countenance from one degree of glory to another. Go ahead, gentlemen. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Your body is not your own. It belongs to God. I hear the abortionists say, "Keep your hands off my body. My body, I can do what I want." No, according to God, God says our bodies belong to Him. Isaiah 67 says, "All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee from Nebaioth, shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory." God will glorify His church. God imparts His house the beauty and majesty which belongs to Him. It's His glory. He will depart His glory upon bodies of churches. See, God imparts His house the beauty and the majesty which belongs to Him. They take on the brilliance of His nature and character. Teen Challenge ladies and gentlemen, when they were in here last week, were seeing the glory of God at Crossfire Assembly. They were seeing it because we take on the brilliance. We take on God's glory. And that one gal sitting behind me had tears in her eyes. She said, "I sense the power of God in here. I sense the anointing." And she said, "There's so much joy in this church. What is it?" I said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And her heart was open. That's why she received it, because her heart was open. They share in the heavenly glory, and we partake of the divine nature. And they are the glory of God. They are His manifest presence. They are also His beautiful bride, that's you and I. The beautiful God has given them His glory, us. Psalms 96:9, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we prepare for communion this morning, examine your hearts. I want to say this with every head bowed. If you can keep your eye open, if you haven't taken communion yet, but or taken the symbols here. Is there anyone in here that would say, "Pastor, I need to give my life to this beautiful God. I've never done that." If you're expecting to go to heaven on your good works, your church attendance, or whatever, you will miss heaven. Jesus said the only way to heaven is through Him, and that comes through repenting and turning our life over to Him and asking Him to come into our life. Is there anybody in here right now that would say, "Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to know when I die or Jesus comes that I'm going to be living with You." Is there anybody? Just raise your hand up and say, "Pastor, I want to do it." Everybody in here is Christian, had to do this. I did. My hand's up, people. Look, my hand's up. I had to do that in a church. I did it because I wanted to. If you haven't done it, boy, don't leave Earth without Him. Don't leave earth without him. Examine your hearts before you take communion. It's a dangerous thing. You cannot put your trust in yourself. If you do, you will drink damnation unto yourself. The Word of God speaks it here in his Word. Some sleep, many are dead because they take the communion unworthily. Some people put their trust in their good works. No, this communion is meant that when we take it, we put our total trust in the works of what Jesus Christ did up on the cross. Totally in him and the cross. Anything beside that, you take communion, you're in danger, according to what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. This is a very serious thing to the Lord when we take communion, people. I want you to take the bread representing the crushed body of Jesus and crush it between your fingers. It says in Scripture here, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your healing, Jesus. I thank you for what you did for me. Hallelujah, Jesus. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's all partake. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. You are a beautiful God, a beautiful Savior, a beautiful Heavenly Father, a beautiful healer, a beautiful helper. Lord, we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross, that he paid the price for our sins. He took upon himself and suffered the cross. We praise you. We thank you. And now, Lord, let's all stand, please. I lift everybody in this congregation before you right now, Father, and would ask that you would continue to supernaturally move upon the people in this church. Let your Holy Spirit continue to move in their lives throughout the week. Convict their hearts, my heart. Help us to live for you, to glorify you in our bodies, that those around us can see your glory moving in our lives through your Holy Spirit, Father. And meet the needs of all the people, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, Lord. Move supernaturally in such a way, Father. And Lord, help us get such a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and our desire to see you move in our jobs, in our homes, in our families. Lord, let us begin to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit in this dark, dark world. And let that beautiful light shine forth from our lives. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Again, I'm glad you got to see me again. And I would say that turn to somebody on the way out and have some good fellowship and say to them, "I serve a beautiful God." Hallelujah. Lord bless you. If anyone needs prayer, I would be more than happy to pray with you also.